Where did you get that jacket? It looks pretty cool. I got it from some kids in India using their hands as their tools. Ridiculously expensive, them kids better be getting a wage. Good enough for them, I'm glad they're getting paid. My shoes and belt, your hat and your wallet too. You think with all that money, we would have put the Celtic Tiger to some use. Time for tears, the serenade is dead. Flowers and dustbins, Celtic Tiger's been shot in the head. End of frivolous items, but only for a while, because when the recession is over, we'll still be buying clothes from ourselves.
Thank you, Nick. Next up we have... Aaron Melvin. Without the B.
This is my first time here, and when I heard that you didn't actually have to read original material, I decided I would read a poem that occurred to me, is the best word, on the Marrakesh Express, which is the night train between Marrakesh and Tetouan in Morocco, and it is called A Friendly Ranger at Clontarf Castle. So I'll read that. The friendly ranger paused, and as he scooped a bowl of beans, he spread them like stars, and they fell like justice on different scenes. I am damned, and indeed, come right now, I'm being bombed as all the people's faces turn strawberry blonde. By the morning gate, the friendly ranger waits for the sun, making sure it's not late. Just in time, no need to fear, well, just in case, and now all the people are happy for another year. And in the evening glade, he climbs upon the sun, getting its glow, he goes on singing this song. And, in the sort of a stout-fueled kind of enthusiasm, I decided I'd read you also the first song I ever wrote within the band, with, incidentally, the guy who was on before me. And it's called Abusive State of Mind, which I just might be more dour kind of constant subject than the last one. I'm in an abusive state of mind, and I think I'll do right by my family and make them into good people. Pillars of society, defenders of morality in the next generation of fundamentalists. So they will go door to door, stop people in the streets, just tell them that they're wrong. They will also peddle the latest drugs, and be careful, those crystals aren't THC. And that's all I can remember.
The fairies love this place.
Yeah.
They do. They robbed the MP3s. The fairies are sitting there. They robbed your lines, you know? Pretty neat. Next up to the open mic, Bree Bucky.
This is called Dreamers. You lie awake in the morning, waiting for something to happen, you said. Oh, cruel stranger, so what if I do? How can I explain that this is my time to live, to dream, before jolting back down into the world of small talk and teacups? Here I am, in a thousand places at once. I am you, I am you, I am the sky in the background. There are colours here that you have never seen, colours I couldn't pull out of an artist catalogue. Colours I can't even tell myself about, not mine and other, but I know that I have seen them. I have felt them soak into my skin, the sepia tones of the real in my mind. There are no black lines here and no consequence for each action. I can spill over brim my blood and not feel awkward in the morning. I can dance ridiculously. I can have or not have whoever I do and do not want. No willing it to happen until it does, and there's a livid tail cracked to dash back under my martyr's stone. In this place, I can have and not have whatever I do and do not want. Even the banal is blessed. And when I do not get what I want at that moment, it matters little. Still baptized am I in the water of emotion. Beauty from the little things come out of their burrows to bask in the sun. Why must you ask me to whitewash the walls of my mind? It makes me uncomfortable. Why must you force the day's itinerary on me? If finding a real dog, a fitting husband to destroy with indifference, and an equally fitting tile plan for the bathroom more important than these colours that comfort me. I can feel these colours. I can feel they rush through my veins, dazzling, chameleon. Would you have me split them open to splash on the tiles like my guts on the floor? Would you have me die to be born again in one form always, clad in one collar with no skins to shed? You would sit me in corners, straitjacket bound in my white leather skin. Would you order that? Well, that I cannot give you, my stranger, my friend. Today I rose early and stood over the city. Here I built the newfound order, sit the buildings together like Lego blocks. I could look down and not walk down many roads, or walk down them. How are you to know? Is this really so different? No one knows where I am, no tracking device tails me. These colours are real, and still you can't see them. And now I lay on the grass, letting green tinge my pallor, waiting for something to happen. And you are at home, in your perfectly square house, with its factory bred character, semi-detached. You have all the right measurements and commercially approved colour schemes, but I tell you now, there is no southern aspect. And at the end of the day, you are windowless.
Poetry is alive. William Casey.
Just continue with the story. When the bell rang at the end of school, all the lads ran out like on train coats, except for Christy and Tanya. Christy watched him gently place his fire down the floor and wondered, was there a want in the lad or something? Why did you let everyone laugh at you today, Brian? He asked loudly. Nathaniel turned to face him hesitantly. He was a slightly built lad with a thin sensitive face and a patch of black hair that fell over one eye. I didn't see them laughing at me, he replied, and soft, lifting toes. I was thinking how most of our ancient history and legends are just violence and bloodshed, dressed up with a pretty flowery word that God's brother Clement despises. Christy was in no mood to think about flowery words. His mouth was dug out of him clapping his head that morning. So with a scornful retaliation of, "Are you a queer old labour, Burns?" he ran quickly out into the open air. Outside, a group of the lads were waiting for him. Shane the flat in the window still stood there, an accusing look on his swollen features. "We noticed you didn't join in the front today, MacDonagh," he began mockingly. "Hanging around with the enemy now, are you?" "Sympathising with bloody traitors." Christy stared at him dumbfounded. But blandly continued bitterly, "Oh yes, on my life, he's a traitor, all right. His own man works for that crowd in Dublin. Signs documents, has dinner, goes to bloody PH trips with the devil. While our lads, our kinsmen, risk their lives out there on the run from morning to night, without even bite to fill their belly, or have let this roof over their head." But Blackie was near to tears. Chris knew that his brother Martin had been captured a few days ago, and no news has been heard from since. "I'm not a traitor, Blackie," Christy said quietly, as slowly moved away from them, ignoring their savage, abusive cries of coward, enemy, traitor. Christy's feet brought him deep into the forest he loved to roam. Dusk was setting in and nothing could be heard, only the gentle rustling of the trees and the lazy twittering of sleepy birds. Christy didn't hear them. He was intent on what her flag had said. His words so different from those of Lily, soft, gentle. She condemned there any creature to be hurt. But was that in his own way some form of cowardice? A weakness in character, refusing to face reality, but instead sliding away from it. Suddenly Christy saw in front of him a man sitting under an old elm tree. The stranger looked to be in his early 30s, dark brown hair and beard, and a lonely, desperate look on his haggard features. He wore a long, flowing garb, the kind Christy had never seen before, and his hands were holding a stack of shiny coins. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. One of the stack of shiny coins in my shop, right? we invited the Queens of Belgium and England to come to join us tonight. And they both suggested that someone else come on behalf of them, and it happened to be the same person, our next poet, right? Anne-Marie Glashine.
Queen of England and Belgium, isn't it? Okay. Slightly nervous about this because it's a work in progress. I read Paula's version this morning and it's already changed a couple of times since. So there might still be bits dropped, bits coming from somewhere that will come out of Visa at some point, or who knows. But you can't come to Cork, the fount of Irish poetry, and not write a poem really. So it's sad, but don't be sad because it's okay. It's to absent friends. The bells of Shandon sing "Abide with Me," and incense hangs invisibly in the air. Last night, the last of my uncles died. Never a man I warmed to or even admired. He would try to kiss me on the lips after I was widowed, but he was the last of the five I once had. My aunt, I suspect, will not linger long. One never moved without the other. Joined at the hips, my mother says. Then there'll be one of the five I once had. And my mother. The oldest of them all, who hangs on, who is not ready to stop the pulse, though the memories that define her, that make up, that sum up her life, save that little bit more each day. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Of course, the other fount of Irish poetry is up on the other side of the island, you know. And,
Dublin.
Well, no, you know.
Limerick.
Thank you, Bonnet from the Armagh area, you know. But more of them come over from the Derry side, actually, you know. So this is kind of, I think it's Derry. Derry's the northern side. But Armagh.
Your cattle,
isn't it? So, yes, Derry, yeah. So, next up we have Rhianna Connolly from Armagh.
Mm-hmm. in the month. Oh, mighty. I got to hear that lyre, sure. I think it's doing quite well. Is that this, Alabaster of the Tomb.
I in the context of Needsfield, really, quite inferior. Posterior, loftier in a posterior. I. I'm back by your side. Cracks open and glisten. Crack! Only holding hands, hold and withhold hands. Loved one. Following on, one, favorite players, straight and David, I, David, it, I, identify. Now I, then I, when I, what I want, I don't want, until I, Dentures, mental health. Die. Me, myself, and why? Me, my lord, me, my empty sky.
Wintry sun edges past the Fort Wing Bridge. subtle twinkle of light and tower death, giants weep. Shrill sunlit train whistles in the swelling distance, decibels, the tick tick before a hollow booming bout of gurgling indigestion sounds from deep within her steel bowels. A sidestepping flurry of green crabs in the pool at my boat reminds me, tomorrow the lock gate will slide open to admit a buoyant gush. Beachcombers. Abandoned ship, no time to tip out any jetsons. Demon hexes, no affixes, many boxes flipping into flotsam. As mentioned in dispatches, nature pulls no punches. One too many trenches in these western approaches. I will allow my bulbous bow is dipping now and then. The bitter pill, the saline fill, pumps are still again. Water from the outside pouring in a flood, jamming all my insides, always knew it could. Compass through these pointless, landfall off the bow. Every life is priceless, you've life wrapped to unstow. Engines hush, decks awash through misadventure. Not so posh beneath the cosh of deepest winter. Tugs to tow, but where to go? My schedule is in tatters. Coast is clear, okay, you steer. I'm hold below the water. Now the high side is my port side, above the seas and core. Tons go overboard to starboard, I'm not keeping score. Withstanding every broadside, cargo tumbling off, smashing on the flood tide against the broken cliff. Insecticide is specified in my manifesto. Motorbikes for free, seized upon with gusto. No, that's not yours, too late the ruddy gapper, behind closed doors, those who beg to differ. From Lime Bay to eBay, everything's for sale, battery acid, wine barrels, nappies by the bale. Although well found, I'm hard aground against my will, repeating seas with taunting ease, pound against my hulk. Fungicide, the headlines cried, a story here at last. They'd represent a perfume scent for years before the mast. Through every pore I feel the shore so near my rudder stock. When light again, I'll fight again for a survey and dry dock. A buoyant whim, an even trim. Some day when tides are slack, I leave this cove a treasure trove and bid you each good luck.
I'm Oren, Christian. Next up, Eugene.
Some storming, his dog, their houses. He left syndrome, behorning, loading, feeling as French did as the children were led away.
Next up to the other mic, Mr. Gene Barry.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks very much for the cheer tonight and the lads. That was a blast again. First ever on, good to see you again. I was in Norwich in August of last year and John Lilly was launching his book, The Well, and we ended up about 4 o'clock, half 4 in the morning, having a few pints afterwards, and we discovered we knew somebody in 1977 who unfortunately, she died in 1978 unfortunately, and it was a bit of a shock, and so I wrote this poem anyway when I got back to the hotel at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I only found out that it was published last week in the Stony Thursday anthology, which was published in Limerick, which John Liddy was one of the founders of it in 1977 I think. So I'm trying, I don't know if I can remember it, but we give it a latch for a few notes. It's called A Kennedy Moment. Mary, my lips hadn't dressed your name
in a multitude of decades. Not until you arrived here this evening, landing yourself on a Republican lap. It was a Kennedy moment. Etching wasn't deep enough to hold you. I sailed through jigs and reels to the Phoenix Bar in 1977, when your lips seduced the plastic tip and sent a decade of fingers to entertain us. Jesus, you were great. My memory fumbled and fumbled in its recall till I noticed that the tide had ebbed and a feed bag of torments had discharged itself. I walked those Limerick streets tonight that hold your stride and winked at the multitude of invisible plaques that hold your name. And tomorrow I will return to Cork, and on my way I'll erect a cortege of finger posts to you and bless them with a lifetime of acceptance. Thanks a million. Thank you very much.
Great family too.
Next up, Fiona Arriba.
This is called Bar. We sit in the belly of the bar, the one with the bar tab, and drink beer from shape-shifting glasses. No one knows us here or ever will. I can't even say I half understand the language winding its way around the room. Smoke sifting and gauze eyelids. I translate the occasional words, but the context lost when the meeting stops and as a room offended. This could be from anywhere, I tell myself, even here, but we're labeled as tourists, as my gaze gets caught on furnishing the internal archery. And my eyes assault the marionettes hung up on the wall, full of perfection, these gestures whose nose are old. And I imagine the hand that made them hovering range of their eyes, transfixed and unable to follow the fingers as they guide paint onto lips over the soft hills and dips of their faces. Periscope-tailed cat wanders under a table, examining legs and tapping feet. He's searching for something in these crowds, a flash of beer, some conversation, or perhaps just to be washed and thought about. Thanks.
Thank you, Fiona. Anyone still wants to take part when they haven't got their name on the list? Give it a shot. Next up we have Mr. Rick Warren.
Up. A jump to the devil. Whoa. He took me by surprise. Down in Alabaster's chambers, I thought I'd done come died. Up, rise, flotilla. I see your wretched panel beat and wrought and burnt and stained by every rusted nail. Up, jumps the devil. Oh, he took me by surprise. In Alabaster's chambers, I thought I'd done and died.
I look out of the window and the CCTV is watching you, watching me. Aren't we the lucky ones to appear on TV? And the sun shines on the hooded crowd, and Green Bay Perry's walking Americans, and for us it's naked workers mingle with a knowing nod, and we all dropped out, dropped out, bounced back again, and we all drop in again. And the sun shines between the crowds, and the woolly-hatted people pass knocking shoulders, mocking everything. And the CCTV watches tired workers walk to and fro, nothing to do, nowhere to go. And this grand deal will pass, and I will know that way of watching Americans use Spanish gasoline. And the sunshine through the frosted window glass warms me gently with the greenhouse effect.
And still the booted ladies pass from place to place, the cart, the door, the chair, the bath, tonight, the bed, and laugh and frolic. With a hoodie looking round, she will whisper goodnight when she's out as one out past and piercing her head onto two feathered pillows. The numerous populace, the ecological cats, the rising tide and melting cats, the century colour, the message drips, the CCTV, Mr. Crone again. So toss the rainbows out of ours, thumbs tingling, fingers twitching, toenail clipping, the centipede stripping on the dusty road and sitting with a hoodie on, and it's such a funny one looking out the window again.
Mm-hmm.